Well, it's time for In the Chains, the UK-based podcast for amateur disc golfers. Get ready for course reviews, disc reviews, and the latest news and updates from the disc golf world. Your hosts will also talk about their own progression and have a lot of fun along the way. And now, here they are, two Brits and one Yang. Let's get started.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to a brand new episode of In the Chains. We are your amateur disc golf podcast, bringing you the latest from the disc golf world, including news, interviews, and all things disc golf. My name is Dennis, and I'm your favorite American, and with me, as always, are my two favorite Brits. The Chimmy to my Chongo?
No. That's...
What's a Chimmy Chongo?
It's gone downhill again this week, Bowen, I can say.
Oh my god. You know what? It's an off week. I feel like shit. I'm tired.
What is a chimichanga?
It's a short week.
I actually don't know.
And it's a deep fried burrito.
Is it that one? Is it that one where they have the hot plate and they cook it in front of you?
No, that's a fajita.
No. They got the onion stack.
Yes.
No, that's a teppanyaki grill, isn't it?
No, that's where they cook in front of you.
That's what Bowen said.
Oh, I thought you meant like some Mexican restaurants, they'll bring out like a really hot cast iron skillet that has like chicken and beef and onions, and then you make your own taco. That's a fajita.
Yeah.
But you're talking...
But you said it's a taco.
No, I said it was a chimichanga is a deep fried burrito.
But you just said taco.
I said burrito. And I know I said burrito because I'm saying it really weird. Burrito.
Right.
Anyways, chimichanga. Deadpool loves chimichangas.
That's procrastination sorted. Right, so on to the next one.
At its finest. So in today's episode, like always, we're going to get the news from Bowen. And then we're going to do a deep dive into Bowen's first tournament. This is Bowen's episode. It's all about Bowen this week. We're going to talk about the breakout at Bedworth 1 that happened this past weekend. We're just going to talk about the tournament and see how Bowen did and talk about what he did good, what he did bad, what he did worse.
I'm looking forward to this.
It's going to be fun. We really haven't talked to him at all since the tournament, so this is all fresh for us.
Why do you think I haven't spoken to you?
I don't know. We're gonna wait. We're gonna save that for a little bit.
He has been quiet though, Dennis.
He has been. Oh, that's a first. and then, like always, we're gonna end the show with Duffy's Question Corner. So we're just gonna keep it kind of casual this week. There wasn't much other things going on, except for the fact that the lockdown, the UK lockdown, finally ended this week or last week, right? So we were finally able to get out and actually play some disc golf. So
legally,
yeah. So before we get to the news and to the tournament, what has everybody been doing for the past week?
Well, we saw you in the flesh. We saw each other in the flesh for the first time in months.
Since Christmas time, I think.
Since Christmas.
So that was good. We went and did a recce for me at Bedworth and then played around at Quarry Park, and it wasn't too bad.
No, it was fun. The weather was great on Friday, so practice round was a little...
tense?
Are we gonna get into that? We'll get into that later. We'll talk about that. I was more talking about the fact that Bedworth was really crowded on Friday, and I did not enjoy it. With all the people, did not enjoy getting yelled at by an old lady because somebody else hit her.
I did enjoy that. That was the only part of the day enjoyed because I played shit. But that did put a smile on my face.
Do you want to tell us about it, Dennis?
So I can't remember the hole. I think it was six. I tee off on six. I have a bad shot. I didn't even make it over the sidewalk. I don't know what happened.
But it wasn't too bad.
It was a really bad shot. Something weird happened. My disc slid down the sidewalk toward this really old lady and then was out of bounds. As I walk up to the disc, she comes up and she starts yelling at me that I need to not hit her with the disc. I was like, I didn't hit you. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm sorry that the disc stopped near you, but...
Just to stop you as well, she was miles away at this point. She was walking down the path, towards the disc after it had stopped. It wasn't as if she was
20 meters away.
Something like that. Something where I knew it was safe for me to throw, right?
Yeah.
However, I did have a bad shot, and the disc slid near her. It never touched her. However, she starts having a go at me because somebody four holes down, I think they were shooting on 11, they actually hit her. Come to find out, she picked up their disc and called the cops, and then the cops yelled at her.
And confiscated the disc.
because she stole their disc, and then she had a go at me. And I don't give a shit how old you are. You're not going to disrespect me because I didn't do anything.
How did you explain it, Duffy? What was your sort of analogy for it?
Getting hit by a car, then going up to every other car driver and start moaning at them for something that, say you can't control the car.
The best thing was she said to Dennis, "Well, you're obviously not in control of your discs."
She didn't say that to me or you, Bowen, did she?
Very true. Very true.
Because you guys had better shots than I did on that one hole. So that was really off-putting. And then I understand it's a public park, and I understand that most of the places that we do play disc golf are public parks as well. It just irritates me that I have to watch out for them, but they don't give a shit about us, right? There's so many times that I've gone to Bedworth or gone down to Denton or even Shrewsbury. And people just are walking oblivious to what's going on around them, and it's really irritating.
I don't mind if they're completely oblivious to it. What gets me is when they look at you, they see what you, they know what you're about to do, and they just carry on walking anyway.
Can I just on that, the Bedworth hole, you know, the long par four. I've played Bedworth a few times now, and a couple of times I've had it where I've been on the tee box, one person's thrown, and somebody has walked from behind the tee pad, like straight up the fairway, exactly like you can see that there's another two or three people to throw, and they've seen where the first one's gone, and they've still decided to not wait until everybody's thrown, just carry on walking up, and you just think, what are you doing?
Well, I don't know what etiquette is, but on the Sunday, on the actual event, I actually asked a couple of people, would they mind waiting for us to take the shots? And people were fine if you talk to them. They'll wait generally.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, in a tournament setting like that, you don't want to have to sit and wait, and then because you're gonna cool down, especially if you're waiting 15 minutes for people to walk by, you're gonna get cold. And it's a tournament, you know. And I understand that us three aren't professionals, but that was tournament where you have professional players, and yeah, there wasn't any prizes or any money involved, but there could be, right? So if you flip it and it's the British Championships like last year, what's going to happen? You know, who takes priority? These professional athletes, and I'm going to say it because that's what they are. Do they take priority, or do the people walking? And I know that Bedworth has a bunch of signs that says, "Hey, there's disc golfers in the park. People are playing. Watch out for discs." However, I feel like no matter what happens, whether I have a good shot or a bad shot, it's always going to be my fault if I hit somebody.
Yeah, I think we're the ones that are actually doing it, and it is our fault. So we do need to be sensible about it. Quarry Park was better, though, wasn't it?
Which was also busy, but it was busy with disc golfers who were there for a purpose.
And we met some lads as well who listened to the show, didn't we?
Yeah, that was nice. I feel, you know, people are getting to know who we were. We handed out some of our minis. So again, if you see us playing, come up to us, ask us about those, and we'll be glad to hand out minis to you if we have some on us.
As long as Dennis is there, because he's currently got control of them all.
Well, yeah, that's just because they're in my trunk.
he lets us have three at a time, and then once we've given those out, we have to ask for some more.
I hand out, please, I hand out 40 a day. They get three a week. And then last Monday, I actually had a couple, Max from Ace, Adam, one of the owners, and then Swede, one of the workers for Ace. My boy Swede! What up, Swede? They all came down to my course, and we got to play my course for the day, which was a lot of fun. A lot of fun, especially not seeing some of those guys for a long time. First time I actually got to meet Max in person, so we had a good time. And that's it. It was just disc golf and trying to enjoy the beautiful weather.
And now we know there's actual people, real people, not just us three, who know your course exists as well.
This is true. You guys have seen my course, and now other people, and hopefully here and there I can get some people to play, but we're going to keep that on the hush-hush.
How much are you going to pay us first? That's what we want to know. Then you can come on Dennis's course.
Well, how much are you going to, how much should I charge? That's the real question.
100 quid a day, 100 quid per person.
But now we're going to move on. So, Bowen, I know not much has happened this weekend in the world of disc golf. However, do you have some news for us?
I have quite a bit of local news, to be honest. Now, we haven't had a proper news segment for a couple of weeks because of, we pre-recorded the Ace show. So we've had a fair bit happen in the past 2 weeks. First shout out is to Harry Messenger's charity giveaway. He absolutely smashed it, and he raised £2,700 for charity. So that's just great news, that is.
Yeah, that's really good.
So well done to everyone. Well done to Harry. Well done.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the Longford Open, Manchester, it sold out in record time, and they actually announced extra places, which again sold out. So I think there's 90 places that have been taken, and it sold out within a day, I think. So us three are on it, aren't we? So that'll be a good one.
Yeah, that's on the 22nd of May, right?
Yeah, it's on the 22nd of May. So we're all looking forward to that. I think we're going to have a little sneaky like night up there if conditions allow it at the moment. But that'll be good fun, that will.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. So if any of you guys who are listening from that area and know the course, hit us up on Instagram. And maybe we can get around it and you guys can show us the course before we actually get into tournament day, because we're definitely going to need a pre-round or two before the tournament starts.
I think so.
Because none of us have played it. Well, me and Bowen haven't. You haven't played it either.
Never even been up there. Like, just even on like personal visiting and seeing the country, I've never been up that way. So I'm really excited to see Manchester. And I know I'm probably not going to see much, but just to be up in that area.
I don't really like many places, but Manchester's one of them that I do actually like, so it's quite a nice city. What about you, Duffy?
It's a dump. You want to go about half an hour down the road to Liverpool, and you'll find a proper city there.
Wow, just because you don't like the football team doesn't mean you can talk shit about the actual city.
Either of the football teams. Yeah, it's quite nice.
It's not bad, is it?
Yes, yeah, no,
I'm excited. Nice. I want to see something other than the four walls in my house and my office at work. So it's going to be nice to be able to kind of travel a little bit and see it. But if anybody from the government's listening, we're not traveling far.
No, it's only like an hour from me.
Oh, and you're an hour from me, and so both of us are really only traveling an hour if you look at it that way.
Well, if anyone asks, I live right on the border of Scotland. If I get caught in Scotland. No, I'm joking. That's a joke. Right.
No, it's
so
not.
The Women's Global event and the East Midlands Meltdown has moved venue. It's still on the 8th of May, the tournament, but it is now being held at Quarry Park. So it was going to be held in the East Midlands, but it's not now. So Nottingham Disc Golf Club was hosting it. It's now moved to Quarry Park. So just in case anyone hasn't heard, that's what's happening there. And Quarry Park's a great course, isn't it? So it's going to be a great tournament.
Have they changed the name to the West Midlands Meltdown?
I think they need to, don't they? I think they need to. Okay, so we spoke about Gilly's disc golf course the other week and how he needs some help. He's actually given us some dates that like he's going to be there for, some Saturdays, and he really would love if anyone can come and give him a hand. The dates he's given us are the 10th and the 17th of April, both Saturdays, and then the 1st and the 8th of May. So if anyone does want to go and give him a hand, he would love it. Hit him up on Instagram, Facebook, give him a shout, and you can go and give him a hand. We're actually sorting out a date between us when we can go, and us three are going to make an appearance, and we'll let Gilly know this week when we can make it as well.
You make it sound like we're superstars and people are getting lucky. If you pick same Saturday that we do, you may get to see us.
That's why I didn't say what day we're planning, because
you don't want other papers to turn up and that sort of thing. Yeah,
the paparazzi, people wanting your autograph.
I'll get hassled as it is. I don't need any more hassle from them.
But we will have Sharpies with us should you want us to sign discs
of course,
stuff like that.
Always. I've been working on
we might have a couple of minis with us as well. These minis are very popular, Mark. I gave away a few on Sunday, and everyone wanted them.
Can I just say, somebody asked for one on Instagram, and I said, "Well, you going to the Bedworth tournament?" Yeah. So I said, I'll pass your details over to Bowen, and he can get a couple to you. So he texts me on the day, "Duff, I've run out of minis, and I've got that. I forgot to give that lad to." I was like, "For fuck's sake!" And this is what I have to work with.
But it's then like, I found them in my bag in the end. They're in a side pocket. I thought I'd left them out, but they're in a side pocket. I didn't check, so he did get them.
Okay, so the question is, everybody who wanted a mini on Sunday got a mini?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
I'd say so. I'm sure the whole field wanted a mini.
Oh, of course they would.
Why wouldn't they?
It is the hottest thing in UK disc golf. Pardon?
Have you seen them on eBay?
I've seen them for like $5,000 at the moment something, yeah. So, yeah, but they're great. If you want one, hit us up. And if we see you, we'll sort you out. They are really good. I'm dead proud of them.
I like them. I think they look awesome. Great colours, great stamps.
Considering it was my idea and I sourced everything, it was great, wasn't it, Duffy?
Yeah.
Well, you have all the great ideas.
I know, exactly.
I mean, this show wouldn't work without you, I don't think.
No, exactly.
Honestly, I don't think it would.
I should have told the listeners about my April Fool's joke, but then Dennis didn't want to run April Fool's because it's for kids.
I didn't want my name involved in April Fool's because I was in a foul mood, and you guys are... What's
idiots?
The word? Yes, that works.
Fools.
Fools.
Right.
I have off days. I don't know if you guys have noticed. I have off... No, none of the listeners do because somehow I can... Turn it up to 11 when it's time to record this thing, but...
Is that Spinal Tap? Is that Spinal Tap? It is.
It's like the 180s reference people know.
But that's what makes us human, isn't it? I mean, I'm sure they're here in a bit, but me and Dennis didn't speak to each other for two holes on Friday when we were doing the recce.
No, we did not.
That's just what it is. But we forgot about it, didn't we?
We moved on. That's what friends do, right? Like,
yeah, exactly.
We were mad at each other. We were angry at each other.
I wish I could have got that Instagram live.
It would have been brilliant. And then Duffy waded in. I was telling him to fuck off as well.
Well, no. Duffy's just instigating the whole time for two holes.
He's got the big wooden spoon.
But then we move on.
And we can laugh about it now, can't we?
Well, we laughed about it two holes later because it was funny. Exactly. But yeah, no, we'll get into that. People need to know, right? So we'll talk about that here in a little bit.
I think we all have off days, don't we? And I'm not trying to sort of like make it say that your off day is less important than ours, but that's part of being human, isn't it? And as long as we can all like get together, like no one's life's perfect, and anyone who's listening thinks, oh, they've got a better life than me, they've got this, they've got that. We've all got our own struggles and we've all got our own things that we deal with. And don't think you're alone just because you are feeling low for a day. That's like how I feel, because I feel low sometimes. It's just like what it's like, isn't it?
Thanks, Dr. Phil.
Could I just say, after that nice few words from Bowen, I was going to buy a Snickers for next time we come to give to Dennis.
Why? Because you're angry. You're not you when you're hungry.
Because I was hangry. I was frustrated. Well, let's finish the news and then we'll get into that. So a little teaser.
There's a new club coming to the West Midlands, and it is it's the Arrow Valley Disc Golf Club. Now, Arrow Valley is really close to me, and it's only a small course. It's only a 9-hole course. It's on a public park, but there's some great lads getting together, and they're hoping to like create a few events. Like they're hopefully starting in May. There's going to be 10 events with one every 3 weeks. If you join the club, things are in the works at the moment. But if you join the club, they're hoping to plan 10 events with one every 3 weeks. And there'll be events at other courses as well. So it's likely to be local courses to us in Redditch. So it'll be like Quarry Park, Bedworth, Cotswolds.
So is that a bit like a... Like in ball golf, you have like societies that go around and play different courses. Is it that type of thing, will it be?
I think it's going to be like a league sort of thing, I imagine. Like, so it's... And I think they're talking about a bag tag league. There's lots of things because... although it's like they're trying to get like, because there's a lot of clubs going around, but they're trying to get like Arrow Valley out there a bit. We're hoping that, because I've just joined the WhatsApp group, I think there's hope that we can actually get a course local to Redditch or Bromsgrove, because I'm from Bromsgrove, hoping to get a course local to us, because although we've got Quarry Park, I mean, the Midlands is becoming a hotbed for disc golf courses, and I think that's great. So,
well, it's good for us, isn't it?
yeah, it's great for us. And Dennis, me and you live in the best place in the country for disc golf, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, we really are. So, interesting. I'm not going to announce it on the show, but you know Max wouldn't give away where he lives.
Oh, yeah.
I've got some insider knowledge, I have.
Ah.
So my dad told me, because Max mentioned a place called Titty Ho.
Yeah.
It's near him. My dad messaged me and says, I know where Titty Ho is. It's right next to me. It turns out that Max lives in the same village/town as my dad. So,
oh, perhaps we could get eyes on him.
I know, exactly. I'll send Big Mark out to go and have a spy on him. He's got caught for that before, so he needs to be careful.
Max is going to put a restraining order out on you.
I shouldn't say that. My dad's a foster carer, so I shouldn't say stupid shit like that, to be fair.
Anyways, Jesus. Where is this going?
Oh, no, it's going,
I think
down
it's stopping now, just to be safe.
I think we're going to have to edit all this out, to be honest.
With Arrow Valley as well, just while we're on it, me and you joined it's called Spring League or something like that?
It's a solo league, so at the moment it's just a warm-up because you're not allowed to mingle too much. You go there, you can go on your own, you log your score to a spreadsheet, and the person with the best average over how many rounds they play is the winner now. They don't want people just doing one round, scoring a -8, and then saying I'm done. Like, you need to log a few rounds to get an average score, but that's ongoing, so that's good. If you find the Facebook group for Arrow Valley Disc Golf, join it. You'll get links to the solo league if you're local. Just go down and have a throw. It's a nice little course. It's not too challenging. It's somewhere you'd want to take your family, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a nice park as well, in all honesty.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Are people still able to join that league now, even though it's started, Bowen?
Yeah, definitely. You can join as many, more the merrier, 100%. So,
yeah, you guys are going to have to take me out to that course and so I can play it.
The only concern is that because it is short, is it worth your travelling the sort of hour, 45 minutes to play that course? I don't know whether you come up to us and meet us there, then we go on to Shrewsbury or something.
Yeah, that's good. I don't know. I'm sure it is. And any kind of disc golf is always worth traveling. So, I mean, I'm always up to try new things.
Well, the last piece of my news was about the Bedworth breakout. I don't know whether we should just give some results or whether you want to do it in the middle part.
No, let's give the results, right? Because I want to focus the rest of the show on you, all eyes on Bowen.
And me. I do as well.
Okay. So
give us the results through all the fields, and then we will move on.
Well done to James Luton for winning the Open Men's with a score of 9-under across the two rounds. Now, that was a real good score, really. Like, the nearest was Conor Mahale with a 5-under, so...
I feel like he has home field advantage, though.
I think that's probably true, to be honest, but I think that -9 across two rounds is
it's
score
for
Bedworth.
It's still really good.
If we want to look at my score later on, like, it's miles apart.
Did he play the same course as you?
No. I'd play it 3 times. We had Sue Underwood won the Open Women.
Nice.
So well done to her with a score of 14 over, which is a great score for the two rounds. We had Jessica Goulet in the Advanced Women, who did really well. Gary O'Malley won the Amateur Masters, so the 40s plus, with a score of 5 over. We had Rafa Lopez Cancio. I hope I've got that right, Rafa. I know that he's a listener, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's definitely a listener.
Yeah.
He won the intermediate with a score of even par. So that's great, that is. So,
yeah, very good.
And that was a closely fought battle because that it was tied for second with one over between Richard Hooper and Ryan Ford.
Ryan Ford's also a listener of the show.
Well done, Ryan.
And these are the scores after two rounds, correct?
Yeah, these are scores after two rounds. So this is MA2, isn't it?
Yeah, MA2.
Yeah, so well done to the MA2s. The MA3s, we had shout out as well to Michael Sharkey, who came in seventh. He was on my card, so shout out to him in the MA2s. He played really well. Recreational, so MA3s, we had Nick Sampson, and novices, we had Dan Lease. So well done to them.
And Duffy, this is going to be that's your division, right? When you play in 2 weeks.
Well, I don't know if it's my division, but it's the one that I'll be playing in.
All right, fair enough.
I think I'm going to get hammered. I'm registered to play in MA3. We'll see how it goes. I'm not completely optimistic about it, but we'll see.
I think you'll come, judging by the scores on here and knowing what you can throw, I think you'll come midway, mid-pack.
That's what I'm hoping for, something around that. Yeah,
that's what I'd say. So my question is, even though it was my first tournament, even though I did so badly, do I still get points? Do I? Or no, it doesn't count. MA4 doesn't count, does it?
It doesn't count towards the British tour. However, you will get a rating, in a PDGA rating.
I might just cancel that. Would ask them to remove that one from the records.
Let's figure that out here in a little bit. How? what did you give the MA4 results? I just blacked out.
Gave MA4 was Dan Lease.
Jesus, well, I really seriously just blacked out for a second. That was weird. I'm back. Here I am. Congratulations to all the winners, and you know, it's awesome to see all those people come out and play. Hopefully everybody had fun. It looked like the weather was beautiful on Sunday.
It was lovely. It started off a bit crisp, but then it was perfect conditions for disc golf, which is why I'm so disappointed, really. But there you go.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on. So, Bowen, tell us about your first tournament. Let's give your score. Wait, hold on. I'm being told to wait by Duffy.
God.
Duffy's laughing.
Can someone else say it? Because I don't want to say it.
No, it's your score. It's not my score. It's your score.
So in the first round, I scored 32 over. Had an absolute shocker.
Good.
I think it was nerves, but we'll go into that a bit more. And in the second round,
The nerves had stopped. So what did you...
The nerves had stopped and I'd lost my head. So I scored 40 over.
So that's... What's that? 72 over?
72 over. Now...
Just quick maths, because I've just been working it out. The course par is 56.
Yeah.
And James Luton shot a 9 under. So he could have gone round a whole course again.
No, it was 9 over across 2 rounds. It was 9 over across 2 rounds. So have you took that into account?
No, I haven't. But it wouldn't be far off. Does that make you feel any better or not?
Not really. I've just been looking at my previous scores on Bedworth, and that's the disappointing thing, to be honest.
So first tournament, let's chalk it up to nerves. It could be, you know, the excitement of the competition. You got really in your head. It's a million different things. What were your thoughts as you were playing? What were you thinking? Let's start there. How were you feeling in the morning? Did you have a good warm up? Did you warm up at all? What kind of things did you do? And just kind of walk us through not every hole and not every shot, but just give us an overall feeling for your tournament play.
I got there about half an hour early, and I probably made a mistake because I didn't practice any drives for a start. I just purely focused on putting because I thought, putting's what's going to get the score down, basically. So I was putting away, felt quite confident. Everything was all right. Got on the first tee, felt okay. I mean, my first round, I didn't start off too badly. The first two holes, I scored bogeys, which I'm fairly happy with. I started on hole 17, so we're talking 17, 18, scored bogeys. Excuse me, that's what I'm aiming for. I'm fairly happy with that. Hole 1, which I don't like at Bedworth, because that basket's horrendous, isn't it, Duffy?
Yeah.
The one that sticks up. It's
an awkward one, isn't it?
It's built into the slope. I've got a story about that in my second round anyway.
Just a quick one, Bo. So when you say you're happy with bogey, what were you anticipating your score to be?
Anything under 20 each round.
So around the 20 over mark.
Yeah.
Basically playing bogey golf.
Bogey golf. I play bogey golf and under on every course. So.
And I think you're a bogey golfer. That's my opinion. I think bogey golf was a good thing to shoot for, knowing that, okay, there might be a mistake here, a mistake there because of pressure. I was looking at you being 20, 21 over.
There we go. Exactly.
That's kind of where I was seeing you.
If I could creep into the teens, I've had a good day. That's how I saw it.
That's where I would put you as well. So I think we're all sort of singing off the same hymn sheet there.
Yeah. So the first round, it went all fairly well. For my first eight holes, I had two double bogeys, I had two pars, and the rest were bogeys. So I'm on course for that bogey golf, aren't I? Basically.
Yeah.
Then I had an absolute shocker on the long par four. You know the long par four?
Yeah.
Hole I scored eight. An eight on that. So I had a shocker
hole
on
nine.
That.
Hole nine.
Hole nine. Yeah, so sorry, I've gone the wrong way. I've been looking at it the wrong way, but it doesn't matter. But I had a shocker on hole nine. But apart from that, I'm doing all right. I then had a shocker on 12. I had a shocker on 15. So basically, both rounds, 15 was my nemesis. And this is one thing I could learn from. Now, don't do this in a tournament, anyone. 15's the one off the hill where you've got the big, long, downhill bit.
Yeah, you've got the
basket
drop
at the bottom and the football field to the right.
Yeah.
First round, tried a forehand, put it left OB.
The forehand didn't work?
Forehand didn't work.
Bloody hell.
It wasn't far away from being in bounds, but what should I have done after that?
Just to break into this, the argument that we were talking about earlier all stemmed from Bowen's forehand throwing capabilities.
Yeah, let's take a pause on story time. So on Fridays during his practice round, Bowen kept throwing the forehand. And kept throwing the forehand. And Bowen, if he gets it perfect, can mash a forehand.
That's a problem, though, I think. Because that entices him into throwing it more. If he couldn't throw it at all, he's never thrown one, that would be better because he wouldn't keep going to it.
Exactly. But he kept going to it. And Duffy and mostly myself kept trying to tell him, don't do it. Throw the backhand. You can control the backhand. It's not going to be perfect, but you can control it because your percentage of throwing a backhand correct is always going to be higher than your forehand. And also then when we realized that he was going to keep throwing the forehand, then we tried to be like, okay, well, fix this. Try this, because he was doing the same mistake over and over again. Finally, we get on 11 and Bowen throws his forehand and it is bad. It was a bad shot.
Yeah.
And I lost my shit. I said, you need to stop throwing it. You suck at throwing forehands. Your forehands suck.
Yeah.
And that's literally because 10 holes previous, I watched you throw 10,
a terrible forehand.
10 bad forehands. That was not saying that Bowen sucks. That's saying right now you don't need to throw a forehand. That's not the play. And that's when Bowen had a go at me, and I am a little child because I'm only trying to help, and I was just trying to give my input. And I am not the best disc golfer. I will always say that. I am not good. However, I watch a lot of disc golf. I eat, sleep, and breathe disc golf, and I understand the concept really well. And so I was angry that I'm here only trying to help you to do well on Sunday, And so then we had a row, and we didn't talk for two holes, and then we made love and got happy again, and we moved on. So we're all good now. But moving back to the tournament, so you threw that forehand on 15, which...
Went OB left, as we knew it would.
Okay,
so... It turned into a roller and rolled left.
Over the path.
Over the path.
Yeah.
So I'm going to... I wasn't there, but I can assume that when you released it, it was on a huge Anheuser. So, again, I don't think... Was that your first forehand of the day? Because I know you started on hole 17. Was the 15th your first forehand?
Yes.
Really? I'm not mad
at... It was my first driving forehand, I think, because...
I'm not mad at that play for you off the 15th, because you can bomb it when it's perfect. Yeah. Right?
Yes.
If you use an overstable disc and you put it flat, you're going to get it out there. I'm not... That's a great play for you on that. Obviously, it sounds like it didn't work out.
I used a lot of approach forehands because I feel I can control that quite well.
And then there's nothing wrong with that, right? I don't think on Friday when we played, I ever said a bad thing about your approach forehands. It was always you're off the tee because I know that's not the play for you. But I think 15 for you to throw a hit forehand, not a bad play. It can work. It obviously didn't work.
It didn't work.
But that's okay. So
what did I do? What did I do next? Instead of picking up my discs, walking down, taking a drop, I thought, I think this is a good idea drawing a practice round, but terrible in a tournament. And I did it twice. I did it on the second round as well. I said, nope, I'm not going to take it from there. I'm going to re-tee and I'm going to do the right thing.
So what you did is you tin cupped it, right? In regular ball golf, you have the tin cup mentality, which I know... I missed it, but I know I can make it, so I'm going to try from here again, and I'm going to just keep racking up the shots.
Yes, so I threw a backhand and put it on a big Anheuser onto the football pitch because I was annoyed with myself. So I was playing five from the shot down at the football pitch already, and that killed me. And I did the exact same thing on the second one, on the second round, except... I threw two backhands and put them both on the football pitch. So, but I made a mistake the night before, because there was a slight headwind on that hole, and I took all my overstable drivers out of my bag because I thought, I never throw these. Why do I need these in my bag? So I did think about my bag, but I didn't think about the what-if scenario, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's tough. It's a bad break. It happens. But yeah, move on, right? So you have a bad hole like that, and you finish it up, and now you're moving on to 16. Mentally, what were you thinking? Where was your head at?
I wasn't too bad. I wasn't too bad on them points. Like, it wasn't... The problem was, I feel like my game's gone to complete shite at the moment. Like, it is terrible. I can't trust the forehand. I feel like I can't trust the backhand. Every backhand I was throwing was going nose up into trees. It's only until near the end of the second round that I actually threw some nice backhands as well. I was putting everything in OB for some reason. Do you know what I threw a lot of, Dennis? Purposeful. But they didn't even work out in the end. They were doing well. I threw a lot of forehand rollers because that's what I felt. The only thing that I could sort of trust. And even then, I found OB a couple of times with them. I just lost my game and lost my head completely.
It happens. I think we all get there. I hope Friday didn't put you off, right? Because I've been thinking about Friday a lot, and everybody who's here, and this is like, oh, you guys need to go to marriage counseling. Yeah, I get it. But I hope that didn't put you off for thinking too much in the round. I also don't know if maybe when you went into the round, you're like, oh, this is a tournament, and I have to do well because it's my first one, and I'm representing myself, plus I'm on this disc golf podcast.
There was a little bit of that.
Okay, so you put a little pressure on yourself.
Yeah.
I know that feeling because when Duffy and I played our first tournament, I put that same pressure on me. We didn't have the podcast back then, but I'm so competitive that I just want to do well. And so I put that own pressure. So I understand when you do something like that. So I get it.
It was just, I did put a lot of pressure on myself, but I also dwelled a bit, and Mike, who was on my card, and Lee as well, the other lad, he was a nice lad.
I was going to say, what were they like? Because obviously you're playing a lot of shots, you've gone into a lot of OB. Were they getting frustrated, having to wait? And
they were just telling me, look, don't worry, let it go. Because they could see that I was frustrated. They could see that I was really frustrated. Mm. I was trying my hardest not to, like, I wasn't shouting and screaming, trying not to affect their game.
You weren't pulling a Dennis, basically.
Well, I don't think you two are that bad. We've seen some people who do have a stress out before in the pro game. We know who we're talking about here. Like, but I don't think you two are that bad at all, to be honest, compared to some of the pros. So I wouldn't worry, but I was trying my hardest not to let my crap play affect anything else. But I was definitely, I'll tell you what, there was one hole where, this is embarrassing, and I'm sure it happens to everyone at some point, I scored an 11 on. It was a par 4, but I scored an 11. I chose to play a stupid shot. You know the long par leg, the long par 4, the dog leg one?
11.
11, yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't trust my forehand. I couldn't trust the backhand. So I thought, I've got a decent arm, like from playing cricket for years. I've got a good throw on me. I thought I'd try a thumber over the trees. The first round, I threw a thumber and I thought I got a bogey, but it turns out I got a double bogey from it. I got stuck in the trees, but I managed to get it out. And I thought, okay, all I need to do is put a bit more power into it and I'll get over the trees. So I did it in the second round, and yes, I nearly got over the trees. I was so close to getting over the trees, but I didn't. And then I was just like, I don't know, I'm going to call it weed whacking. Like, I really struggled getting it out completely. And I scored an 11. Now, I thought an 8 was a round killer before that. But if you lose 7 shots on a hole, there's no way you're going to do well, is there?
It's a lot to get back. Considering what we all had sort of agreed as being a score to sort of that's attainable for you, which is like the 20 over sort of mark. That's half of that in one hole, which isn't good.
The following holes afterwards, because I knew that I was going to be terrible, I didn't play too badly. I sort of relaxed a bit. Do you know what I mean? And I did all right.
Yeah, like once you, okay, I'm not competing anymore. This is going to be a crappy round. It's just, let's just finish it. And you just kind of don't think about what you're doing. You get better. Yeah. Okay, so what we can say is you didn't do well in your first tournament. We can all agree on that. We know where the issues are. So here's my question to you. Are you going to play more tournaments? Did you like it? Are you going to continue tournaments? Or are you just going to stick with the casual golf? And then my second question is, how are you going to improve? Like, what steps are you going to take to just improve your game as a whole? And I'm not talking get you from 20 over to even. How are you going to try to improve by 3 shots around, 4 shots around? You know, get to those numbers where you in your head think you're at.
Well, if you'd have asked me on Sunday evening if I'd play another tournament, the answer was going to be, you've got absolutely no chance. Now, I think definitely I want to do it again. Like, the atmosphere was great, everyone was friendly. I met some people who you see on Facebook, you see in the group, you know the names. I met them, they were brilliant. Adam from Ace Disc Golf, he's a lovely bloke. I spoke to James Luton, he's a lovely bloke. I met Mike Sharkey from the Ace Disc Golf team. He was on my card. He's a lovely lad. I met people who I didn't know played disc golf. They were not. Lee, who was on my card, he was a lovely lad. Everyone was great. I love the idea of the tournament. I just need to get my mental game in, really. As far as progressing, I need to take a look. I need to take a good look at how my mechanics, my thought process. I think I need to reassess everything, because I feel like last year, before this lockdown, I wasn't playing too badly, but I just haven't. I've been doing a lot of putting, but I haven't really worked on throwing a disc, and it seems like I've got a lot like more inconsistent than I was before. I don't know. It's one of them. I need to have some lessons. That's what I think I need to do.
So, all right. So let's go. Let's look at tournaments here real quick. So you're going to play in more tournaments.
Yeah.
I think my personal opinion is that mentally you don't go in this year going, I'm going to win MA4.
I've got no chance. Oh no, I've got no chance.
So then I think what you do is you go into the tournament with a number. And some people say, oh, have a number, don't have a number. But you have a number that you're shooting for, right? Because you have to no longer think I'm playing against the other people here. I'm playing against the course. My goal is to shoot a whatever that number is, right? Only you can decide what that number is.
40 over for the two rounds or something. So like,
or what's your, and that would even go two rounds because you want to focus on
each round.
What is your goal for the round? And if you're a little above or a little bit below, great. Or if you're close to that, if you have another, you know, you shoot a 40, you know, when you're looking for a 19, okay, then we reassess some things. I think Duffy and I have talked about it, and we've been texting. All of us have been texting. I think lessons are a great idea. I think there's enough really good people in this country who can break down what you're doing wrong. I honestly think that if it's somebody other than Duffy and I, you'd be more
receptive.
I think that's the word. Receptive to that, not criticism. That's not the right word. But the advice, because again, we all have started at the same time, and Duffy and I have progressed a little quicker than you, but we're not perfect. I think if you can get somebody who's been doing this for years and years, and they have the skill set, they're going to be able to look at you a little bit easier, and being able to identify, change this, change that, because they'll understand a little bit more. I will always be able to tell you if you did a good shot or if it was a bad shot. However, like I told you on Friday, and this is where I'm going to stick my ground, is I am not going to give you advice anymore.
Yeah.
It's not my place, right? And that was me taking an internal look at myself. It's not my place to give you advice on how to throw the shot. If you throw a good shot, I'm going to let you know it was a good shot.
Yeah.
I do still want to hear your thought process before you throw a shot. I'm throwing this disc because I want this to happen. I'm going to throw it on this kind of line, on this kind of angle, because I think if you verbally say that, it will then start making sense. But yeah. I'm no longer going to go, don't throw a forehand. Don't do this. You need to change this. I'm not going to give you that advice. And simply because before, you'll do it for one hole, and then the very next hole, you'll go back to your way.
That's what I was going to say. Like, I mean, I certainly don't think I'm good enough to be sort of giving pointers on technique and things like that. But what I would say is I've tried in the past to sort of get like a bit of a patter when you go up to play a shot. So think what you're going to do with a shot. Think of the angle of the release of the disc. What sort of percentage power you're putting on it, and you're sort of picturing the shot in your head before you throw it in, and slow the process down, think things through, and whenever you've done that, you've always done really well, I think, or a lot better. And
do you know the issue I have with that though? I don't know what I need to do. Like, I know what I need to do in my head to get a certain shot told, but I can't then process that into body movements to actually make it happen.
And that's where I think somebody like Derek or Josh Birmingham or James Luton, you know, some of these guys that are really good can sit you down for an hour and say, okay, here's, you know, start from the real basics. This is where you need to, you know, when you do your reach back, this is where you need to put it. This is how you need to position your hand to make sure that when you throw it, your nose down, right?
Yeah.
And again, I really do believe if it comes from somebody else, then it's going to be, you're going to soak it in a little bit more than when it comes from us. I think when we go out and play now, we're going to go out and have our fun and have our great casual rounds and just be three buds who are going out and having a great disc golf day. If we're all playing a tournament, I think Duffy and I will still continue to do our normal pre-tournament rounds and get our lines all set up. And then we're just going to make sure that you have a good time. Because I think that's where you mentally need to be on the next tournament is I'm here to have fun. I'm hanging out with the boys.
Yeah.
And I feel honestly that like because Duffy and I weren't there, and so this was your first time playing in something so big without us as well, that it was a little new and strange to you. So you maybe felt
I've only ever played disc golf with you two.
Yeah.
Or myself.
Yeah.
And that is it.
And we weren't there, and now you're around all these other people who...
Are you my comfort blanket, are you, Dennis?
Well, I mean, I don't know if I am. I mean, but it's probably more Duffy than me. But that could have, you know, had a big role in play. Again, not a psychologist. Don't know. However, you know, that could be a thing. So, anyways, let's not dwell on the past.
It's done. I'm happy with it.
Like I said to you before the show, the only way is up now. It can only go better next time.
You can't come last in an entire field.
Yeah.
Like, or you can come last, but you can't do any worse than last, can you?
No, exactly.
And I know I've got myself to blame. I know that I could have easily picked up a couple of places if I'd played how I know I can play.
Yeah. And then we'll move on.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll see what happens. Yeah, not a big deal. But congratulations on finishing your first tournament.
Wanker.
yeah, you know, it's what I'm here for. So good job.
That's what friends are for.
That's what friends are for, right? I think
it would be disconcerting if you come onto this podcast and we were all like, oh, Bowen, no, that's really hard. If we were taking the pitch, you'd think, oh, fucking hell, I've done pretty bad here.
But yeah, that's the other thing. Like we know you had a shitty round or two rounds, right? We know. We're going to make a little fun of you, but we're not here to make you feel bad. We definitely don't want you to quit or... You know.
And to me, it's not real life. Like, disc golf's an important part of my life, but it is only a part of my life. Exactly. It's not life or death. Nothing bad's really happened.
It's fine.
My elbow's a little sorer than it was like the before it, but I'm fine. So it's one of them. It doesn't matter. I look like an idiot. I handed out some minis. I wore my stupid orange tracksuit trousers. It was fine.
Awesome. All right. Well, again... Congratulations to everybody that played. Good job.
Well done to everyone else.
To everybody else. Duffy and I will be there in on the 8th.
Couple of weeks' time, isn't it?
Yeah, we'll be there on the 18th. So come say hi to us. We'll have minis again. Come see us.
Dennis has all the minis.
I do. I only have a certain amount in my bag, though. So.
I'll have the three that Dennis has allowed me to have.
That's it.
we are going to be ordering some more, though. We've decided, haven't we?
We are. So minis is our thing, right? That's going to be our claim to fame. But here we are at the end of the show, so let's get to Duffy's question corner.
Oh, yes. I've been waiting for this.
Yeah, you have, because you spent the last 55 minutes thinking of a question.
And I haven't come up with a better one than what I first thought of. So you'll be pleased to know. It's a bit of a hot takey type question. What is your opinion on like sort of ridged discs? So like the pig's got a bit of a ridge there. I think is it the Jawbreaker? The Banger GT, the bird. So discs like that. Is that a gimmick, or is it useful?
Can I go first?
By all means.
I've got two Bergs in my bag now. I don't know whether it's a gimmick. I just like the way they fly. They're a nice putter to throw. They feel good in your hand. I like them.
Is that the Berg itself that you like, or you like it because it has that little bump on the rim?
That bump doesn't maybe like subconsciously affects me when I throw it, but it doesn't really affect me either way, to be honest. It's a nice flying disc.
Should we be asking Bowen, the 556 rated player, about discs anymore? Sorry, that was my one. That was I'm allowed one. Well,
technically, I think my PDGA number is too new at the moment. So unless the listeners like email the PDGA and say,
Done.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, yeah.
So I have a Banger GT. I don't throw it. It's not in my bag. But I have it. And it's a little weird having that indentation there. I don't understand if it's supposed to help, if where it's supposed to change, or is it just supposed to be a comfort thing. Now, the other day, I did throw a Berg, and I got to feel that rim, and I liked it, right? It didn't put me off. I almost felt like it gave my hand something there to kind of rest my thumb on a little bit more. And I like that. That was a good feeling. But I don't know. Because I only throw Discraft and I have the Banger GT, I don't like the Banger GT. And I don't think it's because of the indentation in it. I think it's because of its flight that I don't like it.
Okay. Haven't you got a disc that you have just recently got that isn't a Discraft disc, Dennis?
Yeah, I'm bagging a Tilt. I got a Tilt in my bag. We all know that the Tilt is super overstable. If anybody's ever thrown one, you know it's... Oh. But I think it's going to turn into a great utility disc. Basically, when you have a tough scramble, that's the disc that you can pull out and have it do some pretty crazy things.
See, it shocked you, didn't it? Because you give me the disc thinking, oh, I'm not going to be able to... Easy ain't going to be able to throw this. And because of the power I can generate from my standstill stance, I sort of threw it sort of 300 feet, and I had a really nice flight out of it, just because of the sheer power, really, that I could put through the disc.
Was it 300 or was it 800 feet?
Trying to think now. Might have been pushing 800.
I think it was more like 40. let's not get our stories confused here.
No, I think I
turned it upside down.
It was 40 feet. But can you guys see, since we've all tried it, can you see the how it could be useful in a scramble situation?
No, not really.
For players like, no, okay, that's honest.
Potentially.
I think there's some potential there. It's a fun disc. It's definitely a novelty item. It's fun. I do also have a Berg.
I would think...
Not
I would,
a Berg. Is it a Berg?
No, is it a
it's
plane?
Not a Berg. What is it, Dennis? Because you were telling me, what is it?
Oh, man.
Is it a Cax?
It's a Cax. I have a Cax that will eventually probably go in the bag. It's not in the bag yet.
Why?
I've heard it's a very good disc.
I threw it once last week, and when I released it, it went perfectly straight, and I almost got like a 180-foot, 190-foot throwing birdie with it. So I do like it. I got to play with it a little more.
This is what I've been saying for weeks, Dennis. For weeks I've been saying this. Just diversify your bag. You'll love it.
But here's the problem. I don't disagree with you. I have enough discs as it is when I go with one company.
If
I have all the companies to choose from, I'm going to be spending a lot of money because I want to try all these discs and have them, and I'm going to want to play with them. Plus, my bag can only hold so many, so what's got to go? And I've really learned my bag.
Dennis, just buy every single disc ever invented.
That's
the easiest way.
Maybe I could sell one of. I don't know. Anyways, does that? Yeah, sell a kidney. I'd sell a kid.
What? So they don't listen.
Tuffy, yeah.
No, can I? Since we're talking about discs, I need the few listeners that we have. I need someone to help me out. I need a Blurple. Pro Pig, one of the Ricky Wysocki ones. There is a lot of money waiting here if someone can get me one of them, because they're impossible to get in the UK. If someone has one, hit us up on Instagram, because I need one of those in my life.
Bowen will pay some money for it. So that's for all of our American listeners. Since this week's episode has nothing to do with you guys, get Bowen a pig. Does it have to be the Blurple one, or can it be any pig?
No, it needs to be the Blurple one. It's beautiful. Sorry, everyone.
You're desperate to take it swimming, aren't you?
it probably will come out of my bag on very rare occasions.
Wow. Cool. Yeah, so do that. Also, hit us up on Instagram if you want us to cover any topics in the upcoming weeks. We got some big stuff planned. But if you have some ideas for the show, please let us know, right? We're getting those Instagram followers up. You guys are paying attention to us, which we're very appreciative of. Speaking of Instagram, Duffy, what happened this week?
We had a little giveaway. We hit 600 followers. We're past that now. I think we're over 700 now. So that's nice. Pretty good. But when we hit the 600 followers, we said we'd do a giveaway. And we had two winners. One was Matthew Wright, who, I'm not going to say what he's asked for, because we'll show a picture of it on Instagram. But he, I presume he's from Wales, because it's linked that way, the die that he's chosen. And the other guy, I think, is in America, I think. And I don't think he's yet chose his die. But yeah, so... We had two discs, an ESP Heat and an ESP Buzz, and the giveaway was To Die or Not to Die, so they had the choice of having a stock disc or having a custom die done by Dennis, and I think they're both probably looking at the custom die, which is pretty cool. So we'll try, once they're done, I think we'll try and get some pictures up and show everybody. The other guy's name was Dean Knapp. 28. So,
David.
Okay.
I don't know. You ran the thing.
Right. Can I just say, whilst these two are scrambling to find out his actual name, Matthew Wright is something to do with Arrow Valley. I know that. So he's fairly local.
It all ties in.
Congratulations to the two winners of the podcast. Good on you guys. I will work on those dies this week. We won't put up any pictures until we know that you guys have the discs. That way you guys can be surprised with what you're going to get. I'm going to do my best. Hopefully you guys like them, and yeah, it's going to be fun. So with that, again, Bowen, congratulations on your first tournament. I'm sorry that you didn't do too well. So we will see you guys again next week. And until then, remember, keep it in the chains.
Keep it in the chains.
Keep it in the chains.
Thanks for listening to In the Chains. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And if you like the show, please leave us a review. Until next time, keep it in the chains.